This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, we've got your best audio of the day. And that includes Mason Rudolph with a huge challenge in front of him. Plus, Baker Mayfield discussing Greg Williams' shot at Odell Beckham before the 89-yard touchdown that he saw Odell break open the game with last night. For the Browns, it's a good step forward. Let's hold off on making them Super Bowl contenders. Let's hold off on making them deep into the postseason contenders. Let's hold off on calling them great. The Browns did what they were supposed to do, and that actually is a large step forward for the Browns organization. Forever, what they were supposed to do was be respectable. What they were supposed to do was win at least one game in a season. What they were supposed to do was keep a head coach for longer than 2 years. What they were supposed to do was draft a franchise quarterback. What they were supposed to do was not change regimes and GMs every 2 seasons. What they were supposed to do was not be a complete and utter punchline and dumpster fire every single season for 20 years. That's what they were supposed to do. So for the Browns to be favored on the road and then come out with a victory was doing what they were supposed to do. What they were supposed to do is not get absolutely obliterated and torched in the home opener against the Titans. But they didn't do what they were supposed to do. So for the Browns last night to do what they were supposed to do is a step forward. But let's hold off on anything more than that. Because the Jets are disgraceful. The Jets were down to Trevor Siemian and Luke Falk, and then just Luke Falk. The Jets' defense got shredded and very thin because of injury. And the Jets' head coach right now looks like a guy that's completely lost. How Adam Gase has gotten two head coaching jobs in the NFL is anybody's guess. And why Peyton Manning is the guy that keeps stumping for Adam Gase to get head coaching jobs is anybody's guess. But last night, all we saw was a Browns team that's supposed to be good beat a team that is obviously very bad. Greg Williams taking a shot at Odell Beckham before the game is stupid. And Odell made him look stupid. And I think that this coaching triangle between Gase and Greg Williams and the special teams is headed for disaster. And I think it's already a disaster. And if Adam Gase is a supposed offensive guru, I haven't seen any evidence of that in his now 4+ years or 3+ years as a head coach in the NFL. And these first 2 weeks have not been very kind to the idea that Gase knows what he's doing offensively. The takeaway from last night is that the Jets are going to be really bad. and that the Browns did what they were supposed to do. Now, for Odell Beckham, look, his one-handed catch down the sideline to set up the first field goal and his 89-yard touchdown, which was a little 10-yard slant that he took to the house, is the brilliance of Odell. And it's too bad that he's so exhausting off the football field, because on the football field, he's such a delight to watch. But Odell has always been exhausting off of the football field, and I don't think that that's going to change. I will give him credit. After the game, he was asked about Greg Williams taking a shot at him and saying, "Odell who?" during the week, and Odell did not take the bait. So I give him credit. Maybe there's a little growth there, personal growth for Odell. But my thought last night was the Browns might desperately need Odell to save that offense, because I didn't think Baker Mayfield was anything great last night. The rest of that offense, Njoku and Landry and the running backs, nothing was really working. They bogged down so many times getting towards the red zone or in the red zone. They settled for field goals. And overall, they really should have pounded the Jets. And it was only really the score opened up the way that it did when Odell did what he did on the 89-yarder. The Browns might need Odell to save that offense right now, because let's remember, Freddie Kitchens has never been a head coach before, and now he's calling the plays and he's the head coach. It's a step forward. It's important that the Browns get wins when they're supposed to get wins. But it's distinctly possible that Jets team might end up being one of the worst teams in football. You know, you could have, it's on the table, the two worst teams in football coming out of the AFC East. And oh, by the way, isn't that convenient for the Patriots yet again? Hopefully the Bills are something real. But you could have an 0-16 Dolphins team and a 2-14 Jets team in the division of the Patriots this season. Wouldn't that be nice to have those four games? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS. Jalen Ramsey, cornerback, Jacksonville Jaguars, wants out. He wanted Doug Marrone to challenge a complete pass over the weekend that he knocked out of DeAndre Hopkins' hands. Marrone did not challenge it. Jalen Ramsey was hot, came over to the sideline and jawed at Marrone, sat down. Marrone came over and jawed at Jalen Ramsey. They had to be separated, and now Jalen Ramsey wants a trade. I think Doug Marrone played it wrong after the game by at first saying, "I don't remember, a ton of things happened." And then saying that, well, those things happen all the time. I just wanted to make sure that Jalen moved past the play. It happened in the first quarter. We had a lot of football to go, yada, yada, yada. Well, so you lied. You do exactly remember when it happened, how it happened, what you said, what you were trying to say. Although at first you said, "I don't even remember." Come on, Doug. You got into a sideline altercation with one of your best players. Yeah, I think you remember exactly what happened. Number two, the Jaguars say they want a first rounder for him, Jalen Ramsey. I don't think you're getting a first rounder for Jalen Ramsey. As great as he is, there is always going to be the worry that he's Antonio Brown. That no matter where he goes, he'll always be unhappy. No matter where he goes, there will always be a reason to clash with management. No matter where he goes, he will always be a problem child. Now, Jalen Ramsey hasn't had nearly the baggage or the spots that AB has had. So I'm not putting him in that category. But that worry that the NFL just watched Antonio Brown get signed by a new team, get a new deal, and still be a problem is going to affect a lot of teams going forward on people that they worry about not fitting into line. I don't think the Jaguars will get a first rounder for him. I think they can try to shop him, and maybe they end up getting a two, maybe two twos. But I don't think you're getting a first-round draft pick in return. I think there's too many people that are scared about his mouth, getting him in trouble, him fighting with your coaching staff, him bickering with the quarterback or him laying blame in post-game press conferences. I think there's too much worry about that with Jalen Ramsey. But there's always this on the table. The Patriots trade for him. And then, you know, end up soaring to a 19-0 season and beating everybody by 65 points. So on to my trash. Over the weekend, the Bourbon Belle and I were down in Kentucky for a wedding. And it was so cool. If you followed me on Instagram, you saw all these beautiful scenic pictures of the horse farms in Lexington where we were staying. It was so scenic and so peaceful and so serene. I absolutely loved it. Kentucky is one of the most beautiful places in the country. Rolling hills, horse farms everywhere, perfectly manicured. I mean, it is really a sight to behold. And it was such a wonderful weekend overall. And the wedding itself was on a horse farm. One of her best friends lives on a horse farm in Lexington. So it is just having that as your backdrop was beautiful. Under a tent, beautiful night, like 75 degrees at night, clear sky, sunset, horse farm, the whole thing, beautiful. Now there is bourbon tasting, which is even more amazing, and cigar smoking, but I went through this entire bourbon tasting during the wedding. They have a table with a guy telling you and teaching you about the history of the bourbon and how this changes your taste buds here and how this alters the taste here and how this is, you know, a different distillery, and the whole thing was awesome. But I have a feeling that by the end of this thing, which started at approximately 6:30, by about 10, some people had done a little bit too much of the bourbon, okay? And what I am gathering, which you are not surprised by, is that everybody in Kentucky seemingly all loves bourbon. Doesn't only like it, doesn't only sometimes drink it, but loves it. Like every social gathering we went to, somebody handed me a different bourbon. They're like, try this, try this, try this, try this. You'll like this. Why don't you have this? And I'm like, all right, okay, yeah, but like I'm going to try to stay standing up for the night. So I don't want all of this. And by the end of it, it got a little sloppy, okay? I had to get up for Sunday morning football the next morning, so I took it very easy. But it seemed like by the end of the night, there were multiple members of one side of the family, the one that was from Kentucky, that was, I mean, really, really on the tipping point. And one of these guys, I would say he's in his, I guess, early 30s, maybe late 20s, but probably in his early 30s. Is so blotto that he comes over to the dance floor and he's doing the wobble. He's swaying back and forth, right? And his head is dropped low. Like he's doing one of those things where you look out the top of your eye because you can't pick up your head anymore. And you're about to have the weight of your head pull you forward onto the floor. So I saw this happening. Again, I've got to be pretty sober because I've got Sunday morning football coming up. So this guy is now on the dance floor with the bride of the groom, and he's about to tip ass over tea kettle onto the dance floor. And I'm like, we got to get this guy out of here. And probably not my spot to tell anybody what to do, what not to do, but I just wanted to make sure that the bride of the groom had a good time. It didn't have like bourbon-fueled barrel keel over onto the floor. So I was like, I can take him over here. So the bride grabs one hand, and I take the other hand because this guy can barely walk himself. So we walk him over to a bench and he's like, where are you guys taking me? We're like, just over here to the bench. He's like, I don't like what you're doing. You're putting me in a corner, man. I'm like, no, don't worry. And I tell the bride, you go have fun. I'll sit down with him. You go have fun. Cause she doesn't need to be taking care of this dude. So I'm like, no, just stand over here. He goes, I don't want to stand over here. I'm like, just sit down. Why would I sit down? You're putting me in a corner. You're putting me in a corner. I go, man, well, you almost fell over the dance floor, so why don't you sit down here? So he sits down. And I'm standing over him. And he's like, what are you trying to say to me? Or said something like that. I was like, no big deal, man. You almost fell over. So he then grabs my tie and yanks it down and will not let go. And now I'm face to face with him. And he is choking me with my tie and says, you don't talk to me like that. Don't talk to me. Don't embarrass me like that. And I'm like, oh God, I don't know this guy. This is in the middle of the dark at night in a Kentucky horse farm. We are not under the tent. We're outside of the tent on a bench. And I'm like, this guy is going to strangle me to death. Now, thankfully, I was sober, so I'm just not even trying to get involved with this. It's also not my family, not my wedding. I don't know this guy. So I'm just like, hey, it's cool, man. It's cool. No, it's fine. And I'm like, this guy won't let go of my... This was the longest 30 seconds of my life because he is pulling my tie and looking at me. He goes, don't you talk to me like that. I'm like, holy crap. Finally, I make eyes with the bride who didn't get that far. And I was like, yeah. So she comes over, puts her hand on his shoulder and is like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? And he lets go of my tie. I'm like, whoa, okay, I'm out of here. I head over to the Bourbon Bell. She's like, how you doing? I'm like, yeah, great. Just nearly got choked out to death. So when are we going to call the Uber here? So why don't we trash that guy? I mean, do I need this? I'm just trying to be a good guest here.
What kind of thank you is he getting from this wedding?
Way later than a year from this.
Jeez.
For this guy.
Was he strong?
Country strong.
Oh, man. That's a bad scene. We could have had Jody Mack here all week.
It's a terrible scene. Terrible. This guy was, you know, he was like built stocky, like a fire hydrant, like country strong. Look at me in the... Don't talk to me that way.
Sounds like the beginning of True Detective Season 5.
God, it was terrifying. Really terrifying. All right, when we come back here on the DA Show, the best audio of the day. Mason Rudolph is now the new Steelers starting quarterback. How's he going to handle this? And we'll also hear Baker Mayfield scoffing at what Greg Williams said about his wide receiver. Plus Chip Kelly on apparently not changing his offense. Oh, good. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I do love the doc. I do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
She's a bad girl, babe.
24 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And Sunday, an NFL-CBS doubleheader. First, Mahomes, the Chiefs open their home schedule against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Then Breeze and the Saints head to Seattle for a late afternoon showdown with the Seahawks. A full day of football starts with the JB and the guys on the NFL Today, only on CBS. On a Trash Tuesday, get us your trashes, won't you, by tweeting at me, DA on CBS. We'll read through those coming up here in the final hour of the show. Interestingly, Mraz, a couple of hours ago, tweeted at one of our producers here, Chris Venezia, and tweeted a screenshot of a slug that is a title of an audio clip in our system. And Mraz tweets, Mr. Pac-12, they call you, huh? Who is Tom Leach? And it's an audio clip that says Cougars head coach asked about the Pac-12. And, of course, Washington State head coach would be Mike Leach. So Zach Gelb, who oftentimes co-hosts, or hosts rather, guest hosts here on CBS Sports Radio, has tweeted in his trash. Hey, DA, I'm trashing Mraz on this Trash Tuesday. A few weeks ago, Mraz claimed he was a locker room leader. Is this tweet the proper way to lead? Shouldn't he be a better teammate and address this matter privately instead of putting poor Chris on blast? And included two rat emojis. Trash him.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Zach, Big Zach, brings up a fair point, Mraz. You call yourself a locker room leader, but not afraid to make fun of people publicly in your locker room.
I let the rest of the locker room know I'm going to hold you accountable. This is not going to be a private meeting. I have held Chris Finezzi accountable, especially because he's from Arizona and likes to brag how much Pac-12 he knows. Doesn't even know Mike Leach's name. I hold people accountable. I am the leader.
Ah, I see. Now, interestingly, I just had a read that included then Drew Brees and the Saints head to Seattle for a late afternoon showdown with the Seahawks. That is distinctly not possible because Drew Brees is definitely out this Sunday.
Don't blame me. But you know what? That's who handles the log and copybook. She shall be not named Caitlin. She should be reviewing the copy.
Good leadership.
I have enough to worry about again. I can't look out for everybody. I'll go back there. I'll hold her accountable.
A locker room leader.
Yeah. So you don't think that you have any responsibility reading the reads that I have to read?
Look, not when I'm going through sound. There's only so much time in a day. And frankly, you know, if you saw it, you have to read it. Just insert Teddy Bridgewater's name.
Okay, so that's on me.
Well, I think it's on everybody. I think I hold a part, you hold a part, mainly the person giving us the copy holds a part.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I'm taking my cues from the true locker room leader around here.
I lead by example.
Which is a terrible example. It's time for your sound check this morning.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
How about NFL 100? Teddy Bridgewater, Gardner Minshew, Luke Falk, and Mason Rudolph, your starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Here is Rudolph on taking over the Steelers' reins for the rest of the season.
It's kind of a sucky circumstance with, like I said, our leader and a good friend going down. But, you know, he would want me to step up and try, you know, lead the best of my ability. And that's what I've always believed in. That's what I'm going to do. So, you know, just excited to get some more practice reps, right? So that'll be fun to kind of like go into a game and feel a little bit, you know, more rehearsed and prepared. And so, I'm excited. And like I said, I'm going to do what I've always done and step up to the plate.
Look, best case scenario is the Steelers find out that they actually have Big Ben Roethlisberger's successor on the roster. Mason Rudolph is a young guy drafted in the third round last year. When you draft a quarterback in the third round, you obviously think something of him. It's not being a sixth or a seventh rounder, which is a total flyer. So they thought enough of him to draft him in the third round last season, and now he gets a 14-game trial period to see if they've got Big Ben's successor on the roster. That's the good news. The bad news is Rudolph ready? I don't think we could take much away from Sunday's loss, but I will say that I actually like the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade by the Steelers. What they're doing is doubling down on their defense, and now I believe their defense is 10 different first-rounders on it. I think Fitzpatrick was probably misutilized in Miami. If the Steelers find out a better way to utilize him and they have a standout smash mouth defense and Rudolph is good but not great, the Steelers season is not all lost. You know, once you lose Ben Roethlisberger, you can take them out of the Super Bowl conversations, but they're not out of the playoff conversation if their defense is great, and that's what they're doing. Minkah's only in year number two of a rookie deal. He was drafted last year. We're only two games into year number two. So I know it's a lot in Steeler land to give up a one for a guy like that, but I don't mind this move at all. I mean, I think the problem is if they're really bad, you might be giving up a one in the top 10. But what the Steelers are saying is let's bring in Minkah Fitzpatrick so that we're not drafting in the top 10. We think we can win on defense. I don't hate that plan. Here's Baker Mayfield when he was asked about Greg Williams' pregame comments about Odell who?
New York's defensive coordinator suggested that Odell is not a dynamic playmaker. Do you feel like he showed otherwise tonight?
He said that?
Yeah.
Jesus. That's next question. Not a dynamic football player. Okay.
Throw down.
That's kind of the perfect response. Jeez. What did he say? He said that? And that's what was crazy about Greg Williams was last week when he's asked about Odell Beckham, one of the reporters says, well, I mean, he's one of the most dynamic playmakers in football, and he's calling you guys out for being dirty. And he goes, well, who said that? That's your opinion. That's not our opinion. That's your opinion. Like, no, I mean, look, you can say what you want about Odell, but clearly he is one of the most dynamic wide receivers in football. That much is obvious. And Greg Williams' mouth and ego gets him into trouble. And look, he's shorthanded with the Jets right now. There's a lot of injuries on that defense, and they kept it close enough last night for a while. But taking a shot at Odell at not being dynamic and then having him go for a buck 60 on you and an 89-yard touchdown, yeah, you got egg on your face, Greg. And I think the yolk is just dripping into those little two gray hairs that are coming up in the front of your hair that you like to stylize so much. And finally, Chip Kelly's offense is one of the most brutal in college football, and UCLA is 0-3. But Chip is not here for your theories on turning back the clock and bringing in the Oregon blur offense.
Oregon was a long time ago, so this, yeah, it's totally two different operations. So, again, another weird view, like that we're going to run what we did at Oregon. I don't, That was 2012.
Right.
They had a lot of success with the single wing in the 1930s, too. When people, football evolves and things evolve. So maybe drop that tape, to be honest with you. I never said when we came in here that we were going to run the offense that we win. We were at Oregon, so I don't know why that continues to come up as a question, to be honest with you.
Well, here's a question for Chip. Why did UCLA hire him? Did they hire him and he came out and said, hey, I just want everybody to know, my offense is going to be really bad. We're not going to go high tempo. We're not going to go big time speed. We're not going to do anything that I did at Oregon. I just want to let you know, that's nowhere near what I want to do here. I want to bring it back to the 1930s. I want my offense to really be ground and pound, smash mouth, real pro style, slow attack, and I want to win games 19-16. Would they have hired him if that's the case? My guess is they hired him on the assumption that Chip Kelly was going to bring some offensive fireworks to UCLA. But instead, they're one of the worst offenses in the nation. I think they rank 112th in the country in offense. So, I mean, pardon me, Chip, if people are wondering, well, you got all of your jobs on being an offensive mastermind. When you were at Oregon, in the same conference, recruiting the same area recruiting now, at Oregon, they kept going to Southern California to get kids. You put up the best offense in the country. Do you think that people don't want to see that? Do you think that they wouldn't assume that you would have some of that left? Do you think that they would just assume that, oh, well, that was 2012. He's not doing that anymore. That felt like the future, and now the idea is pushing it forward. I mean, if Chip Kelly is going to lose all three games and score 15 points a game, what's the use in having Chip Kelly? Anybody can do that. That's your sound check. Paul tweets, I'm trashing Mraz for his self-alleged leadership. I would listen to a disease before I took career advice from Mraz. Take a lap, Porky.
Splash Brothers. More like the Trash Brothers.
And it's electric.
Diseases can't talk.
William tweets, Mraz is the Eli of the DA show. Hashtag get him out. It would be intoxicating.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Team NC tweets, I'm in Chattanooga visiting my son and wife, getting a workout in at Planet Fitness. I'm trashing the zit-back, roided-up guy who tells me, sorry, I'm using that machine, man, but continues talking to his fat friend for 10 minutes. Hashtag take a lap.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
You know, I'm going to side with Mraz on this one. I think there was an unnecessary F word there. I don't think that it added anything to the story.
Very much unnecessary.
You can be mad at roided up guy talking to his friend while he's using that machine, bro. But I don't think it's necessary to mention that it was a fat friend. Peter tweets, I'm trashing MLB. Come on. Who's watching Orioles-Tigers last night? Shorten the season, expand the playoffs, start the World Series 1st of October when the weather is still nice.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
I would not mind if baseball playoffs were going on right now because this does feel like unnecessarily long, bloated schedule here. And then we got World Series games around November.
How could it happen?
Scott tweets, what up, DA? I'm trashing college football's AP poll for only moving UCF up one spot after demolishing Stanford on Saturday.
Stinky debris.
Embarrassing, truly. They took a Pac-12 team that had won their side of the Pac-12 five out of the last 8 years, smashed them, led them 38-3 at halftime, and UCF moves up one spot. Sad. When we return, we've got your cut line. The stories that did not make the cut, plus more of your trashes. The DA Show. CBS Sports Radio.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
I got to tell you, that Damon Amendola runs a tight ship. Those guys are checking with him before, like I had to interrupt the meeting. High-level Damon Amendola meeting.
They listening, DA.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. We're teaching Mraz all about leadership. 43 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And the DA Show is available everywhere, every day, on your phone. Listen using the radio.com app, using the CBS Sports app, and listening to Apple Music, or watch us on your phone at watchda.com. And our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Courtney is the first lady of Trash Tuesday. She tweets, I'm trashing gender reveal parties. I already have to get you a present for the baby shower. Why do I now have to come over again with another present and watch you pop balloons to celebrate you having sex? No, I'm out. Trash them.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Hello. Courtney coming in hot. Daniel tweets, Gase said he threatened in the past to trade players to Cleveland. Hey, crazy eyes, you're such a bad coach. Teams threaten to trade their players to you. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
All the fans think he's surprised. He's got Adam Gase's eyes.
Upside Down Mike tweets, I'm trashing houses that have Halloween decorations up on September 17th. We're in week 3 of the NFL season. These people have them up. Can we enjoy the last 2 weeks of September, please? Even Mraz isn't crazy enough to do this. Hashtag,
hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Take a lap. Mraz, when will you put up your Halloween decorations on your newly purchased home?
I have 2 up currently.
Whoa! Yeah, what are you doing?
They're more like...
Oh, my God! You're a sicko!
But it's not like big inflatables or even a haystack yet, or dare I say lights.
A gourd or a pumpkin is the only acceptable.
That's what it is.
Or a corn.
It's like pumpkin things that say, welcome to fall or happy fall.
All right, so it's more a happy fall, not a happy Halloween.
Right. I've been eyeing up and down this giant inflatable spider at Lowe's. I can't wait to get my hands on. That might go up this weekend.
No, you can't do Halloween until October 1.
I'm a first-time homeowner here. I can decorate my house whenever I want.
It's 83 degrees outside.
It's 69 tomorrow. That's fall.
It's going to be 83 over the weekend.
They're selling pumpkin beers and a pumpkin lattes. I could put an inflatable spider.
No. That's not where the line is. They'll sell pumpkin lattes to you August 28th.
Doesn't matter. I'm putting a haystack right on my stoop, and I'm sitting out there, and I'm having a pumpkin beer and waving hi to my neighbors that don't like me.
In the middle of the 80-degree weather.
And he's covering up the mold with it. That's why.
Yeah, right. CBS or DA on CBS quotes tweets, I have to trash postings on job websites that purposefully insert words that don't describe the job. While being a cashier is a good job, it does not involve having a bachelor's degree, 20 years experience, along with other skill sets.
Splash Brothers? More like the Trash Brothers.
Brian tweets, any chance we can get Hurricane Jen to do picks with Mraz during the season? That clip during the break was priceless. Hashtag, Tom Brady is a robot. You can get burgers.
Tom Brady. I'm tired of him. Where you can get good burgers.
Good burgers.
Maybe some shrimp cocktail.
Maybe some shrimp cocktail.
What do you mean, Albany Farm?
Jonesy tweets, I want to trash Kurt Cousins for impersonating an NFL quarterback. Get this dirtbag out of here.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Kurt. Cousins.
Now, I'm in on calling Kurt Cousins a number of names. I don't get dirtbag, though.
Kurt Cousins.
Kirk Cousins is the type of guy that uses constant Purell. He's the type of guy that is scared of every type of germ. He's a total germaphobe, you know it. He presses his collared golf polos every day. He probably irons his T-shirts. He's probably the type of guy that irons his hoodies. I mean, the last thing he is a dirtbag. His car is impeccably clean. His room, everything is in order. If you want to call names because he's a bad quarterback, I get it. But dirtbag does not fit. Kirk Cousins is not a dirtbag. By the way, so much love on Dr. Chow. It's amazing. We're definitely getting Dr. Chow back on. Sean tweets, the DA has a new resident MD, Dr. David Chow. Book it.
Book it.
Man U for Life tweets, that was gold. I have Breeze on my fantasy team, and now I feel confident holding on to him. Thanks, Dr. Chow. Hashtag book it.
Period. End of discussion.
Senor Pantleg tweets, I love your last guest, Dr. David Chow. I've heard him on other shows as well. He's awesome. But I've got to trash anyone that says Jaguars instead of Jaguars or Jaguars. Hashtag beat beat.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Book it.
I don't get that thing either. I mean, I guess the car is pronounced Jaguar, Jaguar. There's an extra syllable in there.
Jaguar.
Jaguar. But that's because it's British. That's how the Brits pronounce it.
Well, do Britain, I mean, London has the Jaguars, so when the Jaguars go to London, do they say the Jaguars are playing the 49ers today?
That's a good question. But in the States, we definitely don't put an extra syllable into Jaguars.
No, it's just Jaguars.
U-A in the States is a wa sound. It is not an ewa sound or an eowa sound.
Turned down for wa.
Turned down for jaguar. Jaguar. Jaguars. It's like, you know, you're adding way too many syllables here, guys. Kevin tweets, I'm trashing the officials at UVA-FSU for not stopping the clock after FSU made a first down to the end of the game. Trash them.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
I need more Dr. Chow. That's what I need.
Period. End of discussion.
Got that right. He was so bold for a doctor.
Book it.
TJ tweets, I want to trash Mraz and his fellow sandwich artists. If I ask for olives, don't give me four. And if I ask for extra, I want more than six. Take a damn lap and get them out. Hashtag, that's electric.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
And it's electric.
Steven tweets, I'm trashing Pat freaking Narduzzi. How do you not go for it on fourth down? Hashtag, how could it happen? I'm also trashing Penn State AD for shooting down Pitt's offer to extend the rivalry. Hashtag, let them play.
Splash Brothers? More like the Trash Brothers.
Narduzzi's decision to kick a field goal on the one, down seven, late in that game was idiotic. To defend it after the game was double idiotic. And then the idea that they're never going to have this rivalry again for the foreseeable future is triple idiotic. I'm with you. So let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And Mraz has a new lease on life because the Giants have turned to Daniel Jones.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
This is going to sound really weird and maybe over-exaggerated, but I will hope never feel this feeling. I feel as if I just got out of prison. I really do. Feel as if I'm looking around. The sky is brighter. It's new life.
You have your life back.
Right. It's refreshing. It's time to start anew. I'm having a daughter in December. I'm losing weight.
God.
I bought a house.
Oh, God.
I have a new quarterback. Like, life is changing and life is anew.
Little mini weenie in there?
I know this is crazy. Like, this is the adjustment in my life that would be the hardest to deal with, and I waited. So, I know that sounds crazy, but, like, that's how intoxicating this was. That's how intoxicating the Eli Manning stuff was. I love the guy. But it's just, I could not enjoy life again until we moved on at the quarterback position.
And, hey, boo-boo.
And now I could just breathe and realize, okay, the baby's coming. We can move on now. Daniel Jones is the star.
So having your first child, not that much of a transition.
Well, yeah.
Buying your first house, not that much of a transition. But the Giants having a new starting quarterback, that's where the biggest transition in your life will be.
It's going to make everything so much easier on me now. It totally is.
That is a terrible thing to say about anybody.
I have one more follow-up, if you don't mind.
Sure,
DA. So
yeah.
Recently we discussed that Sunday where you ate and drank so much. You had so much gas, and your wife made you leave the room.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
So that was sad eating and drinking.
And perhaps there is some nervous eating going on there right now.
Yeah. Can she now rest easy that will never happen again because you are now happy and free from this prison?
I do think there'll be less nervous gas.
Everybody wins.
Don't worry about what I'm doing on my weekends.
Now you can focus on the baby.
I can, because I see that my wife is only growing by the day, and I know now, like, all right, well, I don't have to worry about this Eli Manning thing anymore. You got all my attention.
What about the show? Will you focus more on either one of the shows
sure.
you're theoretically in
sure.
charge of?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Now I can go get formula.
So you're saying the should Eli start or should Daniel Jones start actually is taking away, detracting from your attention on the baby.
I do think to a certain extent in life because it was
epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
epic fail.
There's been some whopper of Mraz takes over the years. In fact, just recently we had LeBron is guaranteed to play the Terminator in an upcoming film. Guaranteed. But in terms of whoppers, this one is up there. This is on the Mount Rushmore of Mraz whoppers.
And there's more coming. Wait till the baby comes.
That Mraz can now finally focus on the baby because Eli's no longer the starting quarterback for the Giants. Now he can actually...
I don't understand what's so outrageous about that. Think about everything that's been going on.
I'm just... I should not be surprised at your priority scale. But I still am a little bit like you have your first child coming and you are distracted from your child because of the Giants quarterback situation.
It's been wearing on me. It's nonstop every day. I'm free.
So tomorrow, one of Ben Roethlisberger's former longtime backups, Bruce Gradkowski, is going to join us here on the show, and we'll look at the Steelers moving forward and if this thing can finally work, actually work rather, with a big-time defense and Mason Rudolph at quarterback. Also, Cam Newton injury update news. Looks like he re-injured that foot. That's bad news. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan on your headlines. Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Kaplan on watchda.com. We'll be back tomorrow and do it better. The Mothership disconnects.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.